perhaps it's interesting for me to just reminisce back about where I started with my farming career. Not career, but my farming experience. I've always been keen on farming and anything to do with farming and animals and poultry and one thing and another. And I can remember when I was, I'm talking about in the 1940s now, when I was just old enough to do it. Of course, we had a lot of these poultry runs with wire netting round, but all these different sort of poultry were kept. And they used to grow profusion amounts of nettles, which seemed like a lot to me, but I don't suppose it was a lot. And I used to love going out with a hook, cutting these nettles down when I wasn't going to school. I love cutting these nettles down. I don't know what it was, but I used to love doing that. And then, of course, I can remember before the days of combines, Mr. Wilkes from next door, Nellist Wilkes, used to come and cut our corn with a binder. And before he'd come, you had to open up the back swath, as we call it, round the outside so that it didn't harm any corn driving into it. It's all cut by hand and sheathed tied up by hand round the outside of the fields so the tractor could drive up round. It was an old David Brown, I think, in those days, crop master, pulling a binder. And then, of course, the corn had to be stooped, as we call it, and it was left out for a few weeks for it to mature. And then it was carted in, initially with a horse and cart, or horse and dray, as we used to call it. And latterly, we had a small cleat-track tractor, crawler tractor, which got in from America in 1939. They stopped importing. It was one of the last imports because the war came and they couldn't get them anymore. It was a small continental engine, if that means anybody to anything. It was a TVO petrol, and you had to start it with a petrol and then turn it onto TVO when you got warm enough. Uh-huh. And I used to love driving this thing. And I started my ploughing career with a chap who worked for us, Charlie Corbett. There was a little mudguard on the side of it. And when we were ploughing, it wasn't one-way ploughing, it was the ordinary traditional ploughing. And when I used to sit on the mudguard with him for hours because he didn't do a very great deal in a day in those days. And when he came to finish the lands off, in the centre, the reens, as we call them, Cops when you start off, and then the reens is when you finish off. I used to have to get off and pace across the gap to see if it was parallel so the two lots of ploughing had come up together.
Yes.
I used to love that. And of course, then when I got a bit older, I was able to drive this thing, and it was great fun, and I used to really enjoy that. And anything to do with the farm, I've always been very keen. I was much far keen on school. On the farm than I was on the school, under school, quite honestly. Okay. That's how it all happened.
Jeff, you mentioned stooking sheaves.
Yes.
Was that done for the years to finish ripening?
Yes. Or? It was always cut slightly under ripe, and in those days the straw was a lot stiffer and the crops were a bit taller as well because it's been bred differently now, but the straw was a lot stiffer. You have to get them cut with a binder because if it goes flat or the corn went over, if you had your chips, you couldn't get it up with a binder. So the binder wouldn't pick it up like a combine does. So they used to cut it a bit earlier than you would normally. We didn't grow oats, but I got memories of people cutting oats and they'd stop out for 3 weeks in the stooks to ripen up in the stooks, that's mm-hmm. right. And of course, if it rained and all the heads were together on the stooks, they would chit. So you'd have to take all the stooks apart, lay them out on the ground to dry a bit, and then you have to build them up and back up again.
Chit, meaning it's the ears starting to grow again.
They started to grow. So if they got very wet, you had to break them apart in a day, and if they were, before they did that, obviously dry, and then build them back up again. I know I remember stooking. I don't know how many seeds we used to put up on a stook. I think it was about six together. I can't remember. There was a knacker doing it, and then, of course, it was all loaded. When you came to back out the field, you had a pitchfork with two tines on and you pitched them up by hand onto the trailer, and there was somebody on the trailer stacking the stooks on the trailer. That all had to be done nice and neatly inside. Then when you got back to the farmyard, somebody would stand on the trailer with a fork and pitch them onto the rick, as we called it, and then this rick had to be made absolutely quite a skill to make it, because all the corners had to be bound in like building bricks, and then they had a big piece of board on the end of a bit of a pole, and you pat the side of the rick to make sure it was all nice and square. Then you, when you got up to a certain level, then you'd have to make the roof, if you like. You'd build the stooks up like a roof, or you'd have to thatch it. They'd thrash it out in the winter. Later on in the winter, next-door neighbour, Ned Wilkes, used to come with their thrashing box and a big old wire-tying baler and thrash the corn out. And he used to come with an old field marshal, pop, pop, pop. And so that was always entertaining for me. You know, that was always a good thing when the thrashing machine was coming. It was always a good thing to say. And I remember once they only been there about these old pop, pop marshals. You had to start them off with a cartridge. Right, didn't you? If you remember him, you don't.
You've heard about him.
He packed all his tack up. He was all packed up, and he was. I remember outside the farmhouse at Bewdley at Hay Farm. He was just in the drive, and for some reason they'd stopped it. Anyway, because it didn't used to run all day once he got going. Anyway, for some reason or other, he left the blooming thing in gear, and it got two gears or three, perhaps three gears. Anyway. He put this cartridge in, hit it with a hammer, and it pop, 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 off it went. Off it went up the drive with nobody on it, because he'd left it in gear. Yeah. Now I remember little things like that always amused me.
The ricks, they were built on rick stones, is that right?
Yeah, no, I can never, I never witnessed that.
No.
That was what the rick stones are for, you're quite right. And that was to let the air underneath them. No, I would never witness that one, no. No. That is right, that's what it was for. Used to keep them off the ground, but we just put it on the ground and that was it. Build them up, yeah.